You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So overcoming fear and anxiety with God's word is a powerful approach for women seeking solace and strength. Remember that overcoming fear and anxiety is a journey, and embracing God's word provides a foundation for strength, peace, and resilience. So we are going to be speaking now about how to overcome these two things there with Sis Andile. Sis Andile, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Sister Zanele and the listeners. I'm very, very well. I trust you're good too.
We are good too. It's just the sugar. I know it's still too much from yesterday, but we are calm now. We drink enough water. We ran kancane uyabona, but we are good. We are good. And yeah.
So okay.
So thank
right,
you so much.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Zandile, for coming to speak to us about this. And I do know that most of us once in a while, not a lot, we do struggle with this anxiety, and fear.
Yeah.
But before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Okay, sure, Sissy. Let us please pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we thank you, dear God, for this opportunity just to discuss this stone age-long threat to humanity. Oh, Father, but we thank you because you are the way. You are our life, and in you we remain overcomers. Continue to help us, dear God, even as you have helped us individually. May what we are going to be discussing now be spread across everywhere, even over the seas, to help a sister or a mother or a friend to overcome this enemy fear. Thank you, dear loving Father. By your powerful name we have prayed. Amen.
Amen and amen. And yeah, it's a challenge, this one, but I know that we are going to succeed. And I before we even get to the main points, I remember someone asking me, was like, okay, now it's your birthday today, so what are your plans, for the next year or 5 years? So I was like, I don't do such things, because me in failure, I fear failure a lot, to a point where I don't plan. I just do, So when I saw this topic, I was like,
hey.
It's like the producer read my mind, with a girl, stop having fear, So it's quite an interesting one here. So, but other people, Sis Andile, they might not know what is fear or anxiety, So if maybe we can start with that. What is fear and anxiety, and how does it affect us as women in our daily lives?
Sure. Fear is a threat. It's a threat that seeks to displace us from the love of God. And its nature, Sister Zanele, is spiritual in nature.
Mm.
It's not a physical thing. Mm. And if we really want to be blunt and call it what it is, fear is an evil spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells us very clearly that in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, fear is a spirit, and God has not given us this particular spirit.
Mm.
And I know that this is one of the most difficult things to understand.
Mm.
Because when you see a physical thing or a physical object that has given you a fearful experience, and at that moment, 2 Timothy chapter 1 disappears, and fear becomes the thing in front of you, But our faithful guide says fear is an evil spirit, because any spirit that's not from God is from the evil one, So how then does it affect us in our daily life?
Mm.
It's an arresting spirit. It arrests us. It's crippling. It makes us to shrink. So anytime we start to settle for less than we ought to, it's highly likely that we have a new tenant, Fear has crept into our souls.
Yes.
So, and true to that nature, the nature of the spiritual nature, and true to the nature of the evil spirit, any evil spirit, fear seeks to keep, to steal, and to destroy, period.
Mm.
It wants to keep vision. It wants to shrink our vision, our image of who we are as God sees it. It wants to shrink it until there's nothing to aspire to.
Mm.
It wants to destabilize our focus, because when our vision has shrunk, everything else sort of just recalculates and goes in that direction of nothingness. And the more fear grows, the more our image of ourselves in God shrinks. And the more we just continue to settle for lower and lower and lower, until there's nothing in us, there's nothing left in us. We don't have dreams, we don't have aspirations, and we are just, we can be molded by what society says. So that's actually the direction that fear takes in our lives. So let's just take an example, maybe just to make it practical.
Yes.
So let's just say, for example, God has opened your eyes to, let's think big. God has opened your eyes to the education crisis that we have,
yes,
right, in the world. And then he says, if you are keen, Zanele or Andile, I want to work through you to turn around the situation, right? And there's two options at that point. There's the way of faith, and faith is a spirit as well. And faith will, immediately when you have the spirit of faith, faith will get you, convince you to agree. And then afterwards, you will begin to ask, oh, okay, how can this be done? But you have already agreed. Whereas on the other side, faith, if you are crippled with faith and not fear, faith will get you to first disagree.
Yes.
And then you will start to dig up the reasons why you can't. So you see those two. So the options are not many. The options are never many. There's two. And then the pathway that follows then will follow what the option that you have taken. If you've taken the way of faith, you will follow the possibilities of faith.
Yeah.
If you have taken the way of the of fear, you will then follow the pathways of fear. And one of the pathways of fear is anxiety.
Yeah.
So anxiety is exactly that. It's a pathway that follows when fear is the leading spirit. You know, when God has given you a truth, and you are just saying, I cannot agree to this. I'm not agreeing to this until I know how. Already fear has settled in. Because then our response has to say, I agree to this, although I don't know how, because God is going to unpack it to me.
Yes.
But when your approach to God's truth is, I will only agree when I understand, the follow-on from that is a dangerous one. So, and then anxiety is then this pathway that is anticipating all that could possibly go wrong, you know, all that could possibly go wrong. And then anxiety is now when the owner of the that, because it all starts with a truth, right?
Yes, yes.
There's something you are told, and then how you then respond to the thing that you are told, right? So now that thing that you are told, when fear is the owner and fear is the leading spirit, and is fear is now the tenant in your soul, and it, then anxiety is, we can just say, if we want to make it practical, if fear gives you a paintbrush, so you start drawing up an image in your mind of all that could go wrong. And that is actually when you start to see the images of what could go wrong, and that's the anxiety part of it. It's a pathway of fear. It follows when you have allowed fear to actually lead you into the next steps of any truth that you receive. So that's exactly what it is, right? It's
So,
a deadly pain.
So earlier, you know, you did touch on one of the scriptures, you know, that God did not give us, you know, he gave us, in fact, sound mind, etc. But looking at other Bible scriptures there, do we have other Bible scriptures that speak about fear and anxiety that someone could, you know, when we are faced in our, like, yo, I can't do this because ngiyesaba, you know, but I'm like, ah, wait, God said in this particular verse.
Certainly, certainly. So anxiety will follow after fear. If one follows the other one. So certainly we can start with Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. This one gives us the very first display of men who had now harbored the spirit of fear. So if we want to know, where did it start from? How does it look like? Because it's certainly beyond ourselves, like it existed way before ourselves. So how did it look like at the very beginning? It looked like Genesis 3 verse 10. So it reads, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. So he says, I was afraid, right? So he is confessing fear. He's saying he's afraid because he is naked, so he has decided to hide. And when we confess this fear, just even with our thoughts, you know, this spirit then begins to instruct us. So this spirit of fear instructed Adam to go and hide. How did he know that he must go and hide? The spirit instructed him, go and hide. And the spirit then instructs us in different ways to say, no, you cannot do this. No, this is too much for you. No, you are too small for this. So the instructions can vary, but it starts with the fear.
Yeah.
And the fear that was as a result from sin. So it instructs us differently to not show up in life, to just not be willing to be courageous participants, you know, in our own lives. And it just brings a series of loss and really fulfills every intention of the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy in our lives daily. Daily, when we allow it. Another scripture that we can look at is Revelation chapter 12, verse 11.
Okay.
This one is one of those strategic power tools, you know, that God gives us in this life. So it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb,
and by the word of their testimony."
And now the last one says, "And they loved not their lives unto death." I love the translation. There's a translation that says, it says, I will tell you now, it just puts it so nicely. It says they were not afraid for their lives. Yes. So I think it's the NLT. Yeah, they overcame because they were not, they loved not their lives that they were afraid. In fact, let me just find it quickly. I thought I had it. So it's basically Revelation chapter 12, right?
Yes.
Verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are saying it's the NLT. Yeah, it says, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. So that's what it says. And this really gives us a powerful strategy against fear and its pathway, anxiety. We overcome fear when we are covered by the blood of Jesus, the Son of God, when we live by the truth which we proclaim, and when we don't love our lives so much that we are afraid to die. And when we don't fear death, we have actually overcome fear. So that's way, and that's where we have to disregard what we see. So it's not so much about what you see or what you don't see. Can you see here? Because it's when we don't fear death, and that's when we overcome fear, you know. Because now death, unfortunately, death is still an experience in our lifetime. But we must, through faith, believe that Christ has overcome even death. Because in Christ, we are given a promise of eternal life, you know, such that even if I were to die physically, you know, we have the resurrection hope. So the fear of death is actually what's crippling. Because if, for example, you fear a snake, it's actually that fear. Okay, sorry, am I triggering something?
No. Me, I'm fine. So, there's someone I know. Okay. Whenever you say snake,
you have to address that. Because it's actually not the snake itself that's the problem.
Yes.
It's actually what the snake represents.
Yes.
The snake represents death.
Hey.
The snake says, I'm going to bite you and you're going to die. If I fear height, it's not actually the height that I'm fearing. It's the fact that I'm going to fall and I'm going to die.
Yes.
If I fear anything, it's not the thing. It's actually the consequence. You know, it's actually what's going to happen after the thing has happened. So it's actually the fear of death that is the threat. So Christ, this Revelation 12:11 goes right there to the source and says, you overcome by not fearing death. So that's the actual thing. Whatever other chanting or mantra or confession that you can do as a way to lift yourself up, it really has to be a way to get you to, I don't fear death.
So looking at those things, you know, and I remember, I think you once spoke to me about this as well, that it's not the thing, it's the consequence, you know, of what is to fall. But how then now do we overcome it, says Andile? You know, we get it now, you know. The scriptures, yes, we're reading them, we're getting them, and now we are looking. But sitting here, like, how now do I get over this fear? How now do I get, you know, over this anxiety that I have? Because, sometimes we are so anxious about things that we end up not doing anything. You know, it gets so bad that we don't do anything. But how do we now overcome it?
Okay, you know the scripture that we just read, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. There's an interesting translation. It's called the Passion Translation. So the way it puts it is that they won the victory over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the truth which they proclaimed. So the second victory strategy is to proclaim the truth. That stands up in good stead to remain overcomers against anything, and fear being one of them. Fear being the main thing. We must proclaim the truth. So proclaiming the truth is a powerful strategy to overcoming fear and its various pathways, such as anxiety. Because when we are filled with faith and believing the truth that we proclaim, and overflowing with believing the promises of God, we really won't have space. Those buildings that looking for tenants, they say to let. We won't have space to let, so we've got to fill ourselves with the fullness of God through His Word and allow the Word to be our instruction and our reference in all things. Speaking of this reminds me practically of a man who actually did this, and this is my all-time favorite Bible character, and his name is Nehemiah, right? So Nehemiah, he skillfully in chapter 6, Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 2, it just tells us about the story where he skillfully handled the accuser, Sanballat, and so the accused calls him and says, "When Nehemiah, I was on a project here, because Nehemiah was now commissioned by God to rebuild the wall." Right, so now Sanballat says, "Come and tell me about it. Let's meet, And then Nehemiah says, "No, why must I stop what I'm doing to come and meet with you?" He says, "I'm doing the work that I'm doing here is so important. I can't go down there to be meeting with you." And now Sanballat did not stop trying. He's tried it, he kept on re-strategizing, and then he comes back with a new plan. He goes back again and says, "Okay, come and meet us now." He pursues him in different ways, And Nehemiah just shows us that when we believe God's instruction for our lives, when we are so focused on what God has told us, we're not going to really be open to the enemy's advances and suggestions. Because Amatrix, okay, there are many. There are many. And you will not, we will, if we have to really analyze each and every one of them, we will be so tired just analyzing them instead of actually doing what God has said we must do. So the proclaiming the truth and convincing us of God's truth keeps us where God has placed us, instead of just being open for anything, anyone who wants to come and tell you anything. And so this tells me that when we put our heads down and don't open God's instruction that He's revealed to us up for discussion and get to work, I mean, we will call a press conference afterwards to share the testimony, but receive the truth of God, fill yourself with the truth of God, and get to work. Get to do what God has said you must do. And in that way, we are going to be so full of purpose, so full of direction, so full of what we are sure of as we are directed by God. We're not going to allow the enemy's advances when he tries to throw fear, to throw any of his tools, just seeking to displace us in this life, So how we overcome fear is just by remaining where God has placed us. And being so and feeling ourselves, if I'm not sure what God has said to me, I stay there until I'm sure of what God has said to me, and not allow. Because when I wake up in the morning and I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing, guess what? The enemy's got suggestions, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that I could be doing for him. So I've got to be so full of what God has said I must do, so that I'm not open to tenants. In my soul, such as fear and such of any other strategies that the enemy might have for me.
Indeed. So we I think in most issues that we do discuss on the station here, we do speak about the issues of prayer. So I just want to club the prayer part and the devotional readings together. How does the prayer now and also the daily reading of your Bible, your devotionals, your even Christian books, you know, that are good, because there are others. They will dribble you.
Yeah.
Even those Christian books that are good and that are building, you know, how does that now help with the issue of fear and anxiety? Or, shame, we are just reading. They're not going to help with these particular issues.
Okay. I actually like your question, because when you say how, and I did say this the last time, you are actually telling me you are settled that they do help, right? So we are not convincing ourselves that the Bible actually helps us against overcoming fear. It does. And now, how we can implement this in our lives, you know, when it comes to prayer, I live there. I absolutely just live there. And I personally don't know any other way other than prayer. You know, prayer is just this platform that lifts us up out of the grappling, the gripping forces of fear. And it places us in a safe place, you know, before the throne of God. And we know that our assurance is that before the throne of God, that is where Satan was cast out. He doesn't live there, so he's not there. Right? So when you know that you are attacked and you are overwhelmed with fear, you are overwhelmed with anxiety, you are overwhelmed with, I can't seem to remember any Bible scripture right now, just close your eyes and you say, Father, in the name of Jesus. You know, right there and then, you don't even know, you should not even know, you don't have to know what else you're going to say. Just say, Father, in the name of Jesus. And you keep quiet, God will start to welcome you and to receive you, to comfort you, you know, and to tell you and to assure you that everything is okay, you know. Because, you know, the most beautiful things about the throne of God is in Revelation chapter 4, it gives us a picture of the throne of God. And one of the things that are the throne of God is the seven lamps of fire burning. And when we have submitted ourselves before the throne of God, amazingly, those seven lamps of fire burning, they burn away, they melt away the fear. They melt away all the unrighteousness. And you find that you have not even asked God anything. You have simply submitted yourself in his presence, and you've just said, Father, I held on here. And you just stay there until it's all gone. And God starts to counsel you and just feeds you the truth. You know, and certainly I might not be able to right now remember the scriptures of what you're going to say, but God will take over there, because the other things that are before the throne of God is what? Voices. There are voices constantly going out of the throne of God. So there certainly is a voice that contains a word for you at that moment when you have submitted yourself before the throne of God in the name of Jesus. You are in a safe space. So even if you don't have to have a strategy or a plan, or you don't even remember a Bible verse to say, God, you what is that verse against you? Even if you don't remember it, just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I remember. And if you can even go to Revelation chapter 4 and just read, you know, say, what is in the throne? You know, because then you'll know the lightnings and thunderings and the voices and the seven lamps of fire. And for me, for a long time, I used to really be comforted by the fact that when the Apostle John is invited into before the throne of God, the first thing that he says he sees a throne. And then he sees one that is seated on the throne. And he says, like, thank you, God. You have dominion over all things. You are on the throne, right? No, the president of this country is not on the throne. The president of America is not on the throne. God is on the throne, right? Our Father is on the throne. And what is he doing? He's seated. He is at rest. He's not pacing up and down, panicking because his children are being tormented by the devil. No, he's seated. And because he's in control. So it's immediately, we've not even dealt with what caused you fear, but immediately it's gone, right? Immediately it's gone. And then when it's gone, then God begins to counsel you away from the things that have brought the fear in the first place. You know, so so it's prayer is one of those things that, you know, God takes it away from you and then begins to guide you, to help you not to go back to those things that are causing you this fear, bringing this fearful experience. When he has taken it away, because it is a spirit, you can't, it's spiritual in nature. So it's dealt with in a spiritual way. I know that sometimes psychology tells us that it's an emotion and whatnot. I guess simply because it does bring a fearful experience. But the core of it, the nature of it, is spiritual, and it must be addressed spiritually. And God, the throne of God, is one of the quickest ways and the most permanent, actually. Yes. And you do that even without saying a word in your wherever you are sitting, even if you're at work, at your desk, and you are overcome by fear. You see a report and you say, "What went wrong here?" You simply just close your eyes and you go through the throne. You imagine, you think, and you remember Revelations chapter 4, the throne of God, and you submit and just say, "Father, in the name of Jesus," you know, God will take care of the rest. It will melt, and God will give you a word. God will do that. So we must allow him to, we must take these things to him. It's not it's not a thing that we, it's not a mountain that we speak to and says, "Move." it's addressed, you know, at that level.
It's a lot.
Yeah, and there are scriptures.
Yes.
Go ahead.
No. I was saying that, you know, with the scriptures that you're saying, it's quite good, because I've seen that sometimes the fear and the anxiety that we have, you know, it stops us from achieving even the things that God has actually blessed us with. You know, because sometimes we are like, no, man, I can't do this because I fear this, or the anxiety is gripping. And you find that God was the one opening that door. But because of our own fears and stuff, you know, we're unable to claim whatever that God has given us. So it's a good one that we have spoken about. I believe that the ladies have been listening and, you know, they've taken notes like myself. I'm always taking notes like myself. But luckily, we also do have the podcast. So if they miss it, they can always go and rewind. So, Andile, thank you so much. You know, I'm going to ask that, can you please do pray that we don't allow this fear and anxiety, you know, to take over our lives, because sometimes it does for some people, but you know, so that it doesn't, we pray against that.
Okay, Sissy, let us pray. Our loving Father in heaven, we just want to thank you, dear God. Thank you for just being so patient with us, and today for just reminding us once again that you have always given us a strategy against fear. And that is to believe in the one whom you have sent. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, may we just continue. Help us to believe. Help us to be exposed to your word, so that we feed ourselves with the word that gives us faith, so that we believe in all the promises that you have given us, because indeed you have shown us time and time again that you are faithful. You are faithful, and your word is our lifetime and the lifetimes of our parents and grandparents and our forefathers. And certainly, dear Heavenly Father, we no longer want to just live defeated lives, because we are just struggling and being tormented by this enemy that is already defeated. Oh Lord, help us, dear God. Help your children, each and every one of them, no matter how small what their fear is. Help them against it, no matter how big it may be. Help us against it, Father. We want to live up to everything that you have appointed for us. Take away this enemy called fear, Heavenly Father, and position us just to live victorious life, lives of the overcomer, as you give us in Revelations chapter 2 and 3. We can overcome all these enemies, even the Jezebels, the Balaams, the Balaks, all of them, the synagogues of Satan, all of them, we are overcomers, dear God. Just keep victory. As a Safu, we need to go into darkness. We no longer want it. We are rejecting that route. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are always with us. You have promised you will never leave nor forsake us. Yep. Thank you for this opportunity, just to be able to speak this word, Heavenly Father, and to everyone that will get to hear. And we pray that you will give them a special blessing. Bless this radio station, bless the host, Sister Zanelle, and bless all the listeners in this morning, dear Lord Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen and amen. Sister Andile, thank you so much for coming through and speaking to us. May you have yourself a blessed, blessed day.
Thank you so much. It was great to be here. You too, stay blessed.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.